Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode, another edition of Let's Talk TV Live. I'm your host, Barbara Barnett, and I'm the executive editor of Blog Critics Magazine and publisher, editor-in-chief, and everything at the Let's Talk TV TV blog, and the author of Chasing Zebras, The Unofficial Guide to House MD, which is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and everywhere fine books are sold. And we are joined tonight by our usual gang, Arhart Chrissy. Hi, Arhart.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
Doing good. Excited to talk about this episode.
Me too. And we are also joined tonight by Jerome Wetzel TV, also known as Jimmy.
Hello.
Or James. So they are both on Twitter, so make sure you follow those guys. They also both write for Blog Critics. So welcome aboard, guys. Wow, we have a hopping group. We got 8 people in the chat room. We got a bunch of people in the queue. I want to do a couple things first. I've got an announcement to make. We have a special guest coming on board next. Am I not talking loudly enough? We have a special guest coming on board next week. Ask me who it is.
Who is it?
Oh, you call me special, Barbara. I'm on every week.
That's true. But a special, special guest. So should I tell you guys now or make you wait? I think I'm going to make you guess.
Oh, make us guess. All right.
Okay, so I'm going to make...
Have people in the chat box guess who it could possibly be.
Yes, yeah, ask me questions. Play 20 questions.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And hope none of them read your poster.
I'm going to be so mean. You know what? No, I'm not going to play those games. I'm nice. So we're going to have on the wonderful Dylan Schmid, who plays the young Belf. And
I thought it was the headless horseman.
No, it is not. Maybe sometime. Maybe sometime we'll have him on. That would be great. Robbie Kay would be great too. But Dylan Schmid, who plays Balefire, and I interviewed him a couple of years ago for Blog Critics. And I've stayed in touch with him and his mom, and I happened to tweet her the other day, and or actually direct message her, and asked her if Dylan would be game to come on the show, and he definitely he will be. So Becky says, "Yay, Balefire! He would be able to talk because he has a head." Yes,
yeah.
Yeah, the headless horseman would not be able to talk. I don't think he talks.
Glinting going on. I don't know.
I was a little scared of the headless horseman. I mean, he's kind of this Hessian big soldier dude. His mom favorited my drawing of Emily a few days ago. She's lovely. Sherry Schmidt is lovely to talk with. And so Dylan is going to be with us, and he's going to be on the show for about 45 minutes, maybe a little more. And I'm going to interview him first, and then bring in Jimmy and, of course, Chrissy. And then I am going to open it up so that Dylan's fans, and I know he's got tons of fans, the interview that I did with him a couple of years ago is still immensely popular on Blog Critics. So so people will get to talk to him, and we can talk about his role on Once Upon a Time, the time that he has spent with, and his mom told me that he has spent a lot of time backstage with Robert Carlyle and with Colin O'Donoghue. So maybe there are cool stories he can tell us without telling too much. So, so that is coming up. So, I also want to announce, you know, there's going to be a long hiatus when Once Upon a Time goes off the air in December. And a couple of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to have, as one special show, an X-Files 20th anniversary special. So,
yay.
And I'm going to try to get a guest on for that. I'm reading the chat room here. Yes, the first 11 episodes are going by really, really fast. And I'm going to have an X-Files special episode. I'm going to try to get on somebody like maybe Dean Haglund, maybe be William B. Davis. I'm not sure. But I'm going to try to get someone to come on the show. And I know one of the things I also want to do is, and I haven't forgotten all the House fans that read me. So I'm going to have a House episode or two. And we'll talk about Downton Abbey, and which is coming up, and we'll be talking about lots of other stuff too. So that will be – and then the other thing I'm going to do is I am going to do a special show on science fiction television. So I'm
that.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. I'm actually thinking of doing a book on science fiction, and – television is a big part of that. So I'm going to do a special show, and I've got a guest I think I've got lined up for that. So anyway, so that should be during the hiatus. So I have a couple of things I wanted to talk about before we got to talking about Once Upon a Time. We mark the passing this week of Marcia Wallace, who was for many years Bart Simpson's teacher on The Simpsons. And before that, of course, Marcia Wallace was a big part of the Bob Newhart show back in the day. She was just great. She was really funny. She had fabulous comedic timing. And she will be missed. So that's really sad. They're already talking about science fiction in the chat room here. Yay, Star Trek, Star Wars. Don't get us started on that debate. Hold it for the
Oh, Lord, here we go.
Okay. I love Star Wars and I love Star Trek. And I've gotten into quite some debates here about those shows, about the debate about the debate. Yes, our heart is put in the chat room. Her interview with William B. Davis that she did, and please click on that for sure.
It was crazy. I still can't believe I talked to him. I spent almost an hour, I think over an hour talking to him. It was crazy, but it was cool.
Yeah. He's an incredibly smart man and really, really. So let's see. The other thing I wanted to do is make mention for all of you writer people out there, and I know that a lot of my fans are writers. This week starts National Novel Writing Month on November 1st, NaNoWriMo, and I will be participating. I'm going to try. The rules of NaNoWriMo are you are supposed to write a novel from scratch in a month, 50,000 words. It could be really crappy writing. It's not
I'm
meant
thinking
to
I might
be,
try that.
not meant to be the final draft. And one of the things I know that Jane Espenson hosts during NaNoWriMo, if you follow her, she will have writing sprints. So, you know, an hour starting now. We're going to write for an hour. So it is great. You should not be – Angela, do not be intimidated to do NaNoWriMo. It is so much fun. I'm going to do it. I'm going to host writing sprints. It doesn't matter. Crappy writing is good. You know, I was told – I took a class, and I finished my novel during this class I took, and it was a 12-week class, and the idea of the class was never to go back. You never go back. You always go ahead, and once you have finished it, even if it doesn't match, the beginning doesn't match the ending, it's okay because you'll go back and when you're writing a novel, the most important part of it is the editing. You just write it out, you can edit it. So that's the idea. You know, you Once Upon a Fangirl says, I can barely write an email. You know, you can actually write a novel that's a bunch of emails strung together. You could do that. But I encourage everyone who likes writing to give their hand. You could even do fan fiction. Fan fiction is absolutely legitimate part of NaNoWriMo.
It's fun, too.
Yeah, it's totally accepted. I got my start writing. Well, I didn't. But, I mean, I kind of got my big start writing fiction when I was writing fan fiction for X-Files, back in the day, and then for House. And I stopped writing fan fiction when I got really, really serious about it. I wrote about 20 X-Files fan fictions. I wrote about 40 House fan fictions. And I wrote one Stargate Universe fan fiction. And nothing for Once Upon a Time, because then I started getting really serious about my writing and decided to kind of abandon the fan fiction thing. So I really, really recommend everybody to do NaNoWriMo. I will be hosting my own writing sprints during the month as I write. Oh, what exactly is fan fiction? A question from the chat room. Okay, so fan fiction is when? Let's see. So let's do a Rumbel fan fiction.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you take the characters of Rumpelstiltskin and Belle, and you write what you would like to see happen and not necessarily what you see on the page. But the trick is that you keep the characters in character, right? So you have to basically write a story about the characters you love in the setting that you love, but it's your own story. So it's kind of like what screenwriter, what TV writers do all the time, right? Somebody creates a show, say it's David Shore creating House, and you have all these writers that start writing for it, and they take someone else's characters and they write stories for them. And that's what fan fiction is. So there have been all kinds of weird mashups that I've seen that have been kind of like, okay. But, you know, it can be really silly and it can be really funny and it can be really serious. I personally liked angsty fan fiction, which you probably could have guessed, right, guys? Me the angst,
yeah,
right? Okay, so let's see. Oh, the other thing I wanted to mark and I want to ask the gang – I already know my co-hosts here haven't done the assignment. Last week, I asked everybody to watch Plunkett and McLean because it's on Netflix. And did anyone watch Plunkett and McLean? Raise your hand if you watched. I'm not seeing anyone raising their hand. Okay, so that's the assignment for this week. But I'm going to add to it. I'm going to add to it. So there was the passing this week, sadly, of a really terrific British director, and her name was Antonia Bird. And Antonia Bird I've listened to interviews with her, and I never interviewed her, and I certainly don't presume to know her. But she was a British independent director who did movies like Priest. She did It's a Good Halloween Movie, Ravenous. She did a lot of very independent kind of social realism school kind of films. And she is noteworthy. The reason I'm bringing her up in this context is because she was a longtime collaborator with Robert Carlyle. And several of his movies were directed by her, including Priest, including Safe, which I've never seen because I don't know where to find it. So there's Safe, there's Face, there's Priest, and there's Ravenous. There's a lot of like one word title movies I see here. I didn't realize. None of those are available on Netflix. Ravenous might be on Netflix. But none of the others. So the others you kind of have to look for a little harder. But they're all really, really worthwhile movies. So I suggest everyone go out and watch her movies in honor of this great, terrific director of independent British cinema. So that's all I'm going to say about it. Okay. So, wow, I am like, I should never look at my email. I should never, ever look at my email. Screeners. Oh, my gosh. Okay, screeners. Yay. I just got an email about screeners. So, anyway, I want to jump to Once Upon a Time. I think that was all I wanted to do. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, I covered everything. Okay, so I'm gonna actually, I've got somebody new in the chat room, and I'm curious as to who this. Oh, I've got more new people in the chat room. But they're not. They don't have the little question mark next to their name, so I guess they don't want to talk to me. So I'm not gonna bring. So guys, what did you think of last night's episode?
Go ahead,
Jimmy.
Please.
Why don't you go first?
There are some very nice character moments in the current storyline. Some of the backstory of Hook, though, even though I really liked seeing it, was a little hokey. It almost felt like they were trying too hard to make him a good guy after the fact.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
And the way, and they just kind of like weren't consistent with it.
Okay.
And
yeah.
I definitely had a problem with the way his crew switched to pirates, like, instantly.
Did you read did either of you guys read my review? That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
I didn't, but I said the same thing in my review.
Yeah, I thought that was really abrupt. I hear you, and I kind of like the way they show him starting out as a really a good guy, you know, a really nice guy. You know, staunch and true and, you know, good-hearted and all that. Then that switch to pirate it seemed where they were going with that seemed like it was really out of character.
Well, I mean, like, I understood, you know, the switch in that they felt betrayed by their government because of the poisoning thing.
But
there wasn't enough there. Like, it wasn't. I mean, he didn't even explain himself to the crew, and they barely know him. He wasn't their leader for a long period of time.
Right.
Just blindly switch was silly.
Yeah, we're going to go from being soldiers to being pirates.
Yeah, like, I like that they're trying, well, you know me, I love Hook, you know, and I like that they're trying to rehabilitate him and stuff. But I feel like, it was weird that the crew, like what Jimmy said, you know, the crew decides all of a sudden, okay, we're going to be pirates. And then,
and
it's weird, like, he's condemning the king for being greedy and whatever, just a tyrant, and then isn't that what the pirates are? I mean, like, you know, it's not like it's Robin Hood, where Robin Hood is taking from the rich to give to the poor. I mean,
none of the pirates had, like, families they wanted to return to that they didn't
find. I just thought it rang a little false to me and a little rushed. And I didn't, I didn't mind. Uh-oh, somebody lost the sound. Uh-oh. Becky says, he's really angry. Okay. So he was really angry with the king, but it was really Peter Pan who killed his brother. That wasn't undeniable. There wasn't undeniable proof the king was plotting to kill a whole race. That's only what Pan told them. So,
Go ahead, sorry.
It was rushed. And I think, you know, one of the things that they did, and I think they've done brilliantly with Rumpel's character, is they really told his story over 3 years. And I think he's earned.
And we're still missing pieces.
Well, he's such an important character to the show that, we're going to miss pieces. And I understand they want to tell Hook's story. But and even when they told Red Riding Hood's story, it was done with a lot more subtlety, I thought. So
first of all, they should have had more in the beginning about the fact that, you know, whatever the conflict is, the major conflict that Hook had with the king. that should have been fleshed out a lot more in detail.
I would have liked to have seen that happen over a few episodes. And I don't have a problem with him being furious with the king. I don't have a problem with his acting out at all. But I think it went, it just seemed too abrupt.
It was rough.
And out of character. You go from a guy who's got such a strong moral compass that he's infuriated at the brutality of the king he serves. Why wouldn't he say, I'm going to have a revolution against this guy, or I'm going to tell everybody, you know, to decide to go lawless and to decide to emulate this. So that's kind of what it kind of bothered me.
And this is how I felt, that they would have liked to see the king and the court maybe have some scenes where they interacted. Well, yeah, and I mean, I get it. Maybe they just didn't, for lack of time. I mean, obviously, I mean, it's
possible. Yeah, and they have to compress things.
But Hook is such a huge major character. I mean, as much as they have cultivated Rumpelstiltskin's character and Regina's character, you know, Regina, I just feel like they are trying to redeem him and turn him around. So I feel like they should have taken the same amount of time with him. And, you know, this whole thing with, you know, kissing Emma, I mean, the thing is with this is that I do think they have chemistry. I mean, I've always liked the banter between them and this and that. I mean, but for me, it's endgame is they. I mean, that's the bottom line. And so now, of course, he's probably going to keep it from Emma until the very last moment that they is alive, I think. But eventually, you know, I think he's going to tell her. So, you know, he's trying to kind of be a good guy. I mean, I think inherently he sort of is a good guy. I mean, he is a pirate, but I mean, he's not without any kind of moral compass.
Well,
you know,
and that's what I think they were trying to prove last night. I just think that it would have been better to sort of to redeem him, to rehabilitate his character in one episode, I think was too much to do. And
and the fact that the present day scenes kind of contrasted with that. He kept insisting he wasn't noble and he wasn't saving David just to save David. It was all for an ulterior motive. I mean, that didn't line up either.
No, I agree with you on that.
I guess. And, you know, I mean, I'm reading the comments in the chat room. Angela says, I think it seemed abrupt because we didn't see the whole picture, just snapshots.
Yeah.
That's possible. And I think that that's the writing. And I think that there could have been smoother. Yes, he's definitely been more likable this season. And I think that's by design. I think that they get that he's a popular character. So they're redeeming him.
Kind of fangirl says, I liked what was done last night, how they wrote Rumpel in season one. They were successful in giving us a snapshot of Rumpel's life prior to being the Dark One. This is not successful. Yeah, I mean, but the other thing is that I just really feel like they took the time to develop whatever the background was going to be.
I think they feel in a real hurry to rehabilitate the character because he is really popular. And I think I think they're rushing it just a little bit. Now, there were lots of things that I loved about the episode. I really loved the relationship between Charming and Hook in the present day story.
Ooh.
I thought
that was really good.
I really liked it. But I really liked that Hook was dragging him there, to save his life, and kind of a nice little selfless act. Matt Cartelli, hi Matt. I think you're new to the show. I think they dragged out things too long before. I like the faster pacing of this season. I love the pacing of this season. I think it is absolutely, I think this is absolutely a wonderful season, without a doubt. There will
there
oh Becky says there will probably be some more backstory with Hook and Bait. Question mark. Okay,
yeah.
Becky. So I'm gonna answer you by saying one of the things that Dylan Schmidt's mom told me is that he has spent quite a bit of time backstage with both Robert Carlyle, which we know that most of his scenes are with him, and with Colin O'Donoghue.
Ooh,
so I'm guessing from that we will have time spent between Young Bay and Hook, and we can ask Dylan about that next week on the show, right here on the show. So that would be great. And, you know, I mean, Kate says, must everything be about Rumpel? I love Rumpel, but not everything should be about him. Right.
The whole episode was not about him. What are you talking about?
He wasn't in it.
He wasn't in it.
He wasn't in it.
Unless he was in that box at the end, he wasn't in it.
Well, you know, we'll get to that in a second. Hang on. But, yeah, I mean, he was not in the episode at all. And one of the things that I liked about the week before, which was a Rumpel episode, was that everyone was in it. To me, that's when the show works the best, is when everyone's in it. So, Once Upon a Fangirl says, one of my favorite scenes in last night's episode was Regina ripping a heart out. Yes.
That was amazing. I love that Emma went with.
So, yes. So this is what I loved. So one of the things I loved so much about last night was Regina finally got to do something.
Yeah, thank you. She's been a little bit in the background there, man.
She finally got to do something. And she was right.
Yeah, she was.
She got to be right.
For one.
Was she? I mean, yes, she did. She did something great and helped save him. But my question at the end of that was, now is Emma going down the wrong path? Because Emma embraced that so much. And what cost? You know, I mean, she's concerned about the cost. What's that going to cost Emma's soul to act like that?
Right. Magic comes with a price. Ha ha.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Although, when did Emma start saying our son? I picked up on that and thought that was funny.
Yeah, did you too? I was like, oh my God, okay.
Now that she's best buddies, it's arson.
I know.
Son.
I was
that was wild. That was wild.
Yeah,
you know, yes, they did not kill the lost. Well, they couldn't kill the boy because the lost boy had to go and go to Henry and tell Henry.
But I think it'll be interesting to see if they're going to actually use the boy now to get in, because now they can control him. So,
yeah, because
they
can control him now. And I wonder what the cost is going to be for that.
I don't know.
That could be kind of interesting. Excuse me. I'm still getting over that cold just a little bit. But I think Becky says, I think that Regina will help teach Emma how to use her magic now. Yeah, I mean, because Emma's got magic. She's got to sort of use it for good. But I really, because Regina has had very little to do so far this year.
I agree.
So,
I think we're going to get more, though. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how, when they're at the point where they have to get Henry, if she's going to, you know, if he's going to tell her no, not to do it. You know what I mean? Like, if she's going to be able to, I'm having technical difficulties here. Hold on.
That's not good.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear
you. Now? Okay. All right. Sorry. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't. But I was just going to say that Regina, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if she, in turn, you know, does whatever she has to do, and if Henry is faking it being on Pan's side or faking this whole thing and is going to, you know, I'm anxious to see how it's going to end, how Regina is going to really be pivotal in this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean,
she hasn't really done that.
See how all of these guys. I mean, and you know, as David Goodman, when I interviewed him, said, you know, each of the characters is being confronted with who they are and how they're going to react in this. I mean, this is a test. Each one of them is being tested. So you have this week, Hook is being tested in a way. You know, and he's shown himself to be of good heart, except I wonder what he's going to decide now that he knows that Neil is alive.
Mm-hmm.
What's he going to do?
I don't think he's going to tell her until the last minute. I think he's going to revert back to the old, you know.
Oh, but is he going to do Neil harm? Because Pan wants, see, Pan is promising Hook that he can have Emma and
right.
get off the island if he kills Neil.
I don't think he's going to do it. I think it'll come down to the last minute. I just don't think he'll do it. I think that he's trying really hard to do the right thing. I think he's not going to, especially, you know, they want him to be rehabilitated. I mean, I think that Emma's going to find out that he knew that Neil was alive the whole time. So I think it's going to mm-hmm. go on up until that moment. And then he's going to probably, I think he's going to rescue him. I think he's going to play Pan. And I think that he's going to make it a point so that he can get to him, and then at the very last second, he's going to let him go. That's
yeah,
right.
I think so. I agree with Angela that he won't harm Neil because he cares quite a bit about Neil.
Absolutely.
Neil Balefire. So I'm reading in the chat room here. Once Upon a Fangirl says, I think both Regina and Rumpel will surprise us in this particular story arc. Yes. And next week's episode, it looks like, oh, should I read the press release from ABC that I just got?
Yes. Yes, I have a theory about next week's episode.
Okay, so I'm going to, and you know, before I do that, I want to talk about the cage at the end.
Oh, yes.
So who's in the cage?
I mean, Rumpel seems the obvious, but I'm hoping it's not.
Who is it?
Could it be Tiger Lily or Tinkerbell?
Yeah, I don't think it's Rumpel. I don't think it's Rumpel.
No, I don't think it's Rumpel. This is what I think. Okay, are you ready for my theory?
Okay, what's your theory?
I think it's probably Tinkerbell. Okay, in the box.
Ooh, yeah, I think so.
But I think that, you know, we talk about the next thing. Maybe I'll wait. Anyway, but my feeling is like you guys saw the preview for next week, and you see Regina just completely, I don't know what the hell.
Okay, wait. Okay, so don't say that yet, because I want to
I won't say that yet.
For that.
All right.
So, but okay. let me read the press release. For next week. I think it's Tink. Somebody said it's Rumpel's dad. I don't think it's Rumpel's dad.
No.
And I don't think it's Rumpel because, as Angela says, Rumpel is running free in the promo for next week. So it's not Rumpel. It could be Tink. It could very well be Tink. Some people have said that they thought it's Belle.
I don't think it's Belle. But I do hope it's somebody new or somebody we haven't seen in a while.
This could be Rumpel's
shadow.
Well, okay, so there's a theory about going around that I really, really like. That's one of my readers proposed on Twitter, and I'm going to tell you what it is in a minute, which is actually kind of a cool theory. So hang on a second. I'm going to read the press release for next week's episode. This is the headline. After being saved by Ariel, Snow White returns the favor by helping her new friend get acquainted with Prince Eric. And Emma, Mary Margaret, and David, and Hook attempt to rescue Neil from Pan's encampment in Once Upon a Time. So we know from that Hook does that Emma does find out that Neil is around. So this is what the press release says. Back in the fairy tale land that was, when Ariel saved Snow White from drowning in the ocean's depths, Snow returns the favor by helping her new friend get acquainted with Prince Eric, with whom she has fallen madly in love. Ooh, they have a dangling participle with. Oh, bad grammar. Meanwhile, Emma, Mary, I'm the editor, right? It's the editor and me. Meanwhile, Emma, Mary, Margaret, David, and Hook attempt to save Neil, who is imprisoned in one of Pan's encampments. And Regina and Mr. Gold begrudgingly team up to find a way to take down Pan. So that's
okay,
the setup next week.
So do you want to hear my theory? My Bell theory. My theory is that during this whole time we've seen our Rumble and Rumple having these conversations with Belle, I think it's really been Pan this whole time in disguise as Belle.
Wow.
What do you think of that? And it was just because he plays games. You like my theory? Interesting. I was thinking about that earlier today. I'm like, what if?
So he's just playing mind games.
Yes, and it would totally fit the... I mean, of course, he's trying to freak him out. He's trying to kind of psych him out in some ways, you know, and I think lead him emotionally wherever he wants him to go, you know, even though, you know, Rumple is, you know, he thinks he's talking to Belle, but no, I think he's been talking to Pan this whole time.
So, okay, so I'm going back here in the... that's an interesting theory, and I'm going back in the chat room here because there's a ton of people talking
in the shadow.
Chat room.
Yeah, people are saying it's Rumple's shadow in the shadow.
Rumple's shadow. Now, Matt Cartelli asks, I wonder if the press will get to screen 306, given it's the – well, okay, so they usually don't screen sweeps episodes for us.
Ooh.
You know, definitely the premiere, possibly the finale, but there are sometimes, although I have to say they did give us February sweeps episodes. So I am not sure. It's possible. So I will, if we do get screeners, it'll probably be Wednesday or Thursday. Usually that's what they do. So, gosh, there's so many people typing. I cannot keep up. Okay, so I'm going back here. Angela says, well, it looks as if Vision Belle is going to go away. Ooh, that just swept by me again. Sorry about that. She says, yes, they are going to show a storybook from when the gang first left. They are backtracking in the timeline. So that's interesting. Sarah thinks that it's not Rumple's shadow, but it's Pan's shadow.
Pan's shadow.
Ooh.
Well,
yeah,
Manhattan, that's a possibility too, though.
I just said, yeah, Matt says, wait, but I thought Manhattan was a February sweeps app. Yes, it was. And I just backtracked. I said, yes, they did show us that one. So I saw they pre-screened Manhattan and the Miller's Daughter both. So I don't, but not the November ones, I don't think. Maybe it was, they were. I can't remember now. So it's possible. It's possible. So if we get it, I will know, and I will do some teasing out on Twitter. So make sure you're following me, guys, on Twitter. If I get some info, I will tease. I don't ever spoil. You guys know that about me by now,
no
right?
Spoilers. Besides, it's better to watch without the spoilers, frankly. I mean, like, I like to know, okay, who's coming on, like, who will be on it, like, which characters. But I don't really necessarily want to know what's going to happen, you know?
Oscar Talks is asking, are you going to be talking about any other shows besides Once Tonight? And I will. We'll do that in the last segment. We'll talk about some other stuff. We usually do that in the first segment. Today I decided we'll do that in the last segment. But we will. We'll talk about some other stuff too. So for any of you who've not seen the promo for next week's episode, you should definitely go and take a look at it. There are some interesting surprises.
I took the link in the chat box.
What?
I put the link in the chat box.
There's the link. Yes, Ursula, and Once Upon a Fangirl.
Can you believe it?
Who is Ursula? Okay, spoiler alert, guys. Spoiler alert. If you don't want to be spoiled, who is Ursula? Did you notice? Oh,
yeah, I can't even believe it.
Yes, it is. It is none other than the Evil Queen herself. So that's
so. How can that be?
I
don't get it.
Okay, so how do you, Jimmy? What do you think? How do you think that's going to work?
I don't know. I mean, I was a little disappointed to see her in that role because I feel like that's a whole different part and kind of takes her out of what we've seen of it.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm curious as to how they're going to play. I suppose it can work. I mean, I would have, remember in Skin Deep when Regina referred to a certain mermaid she was having issues with. So that was planted a long, long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, and
yeah,
Lana wanted to be Ursula for a long time. And, I mean, look, we've got Rumpelstiltskin is the beast. He's the crocodile. He
right.
is Rumpelstiltskin, of course, the guy who spins the fairy godmother from Cinderella. I mean,
but Ursula has to, like, live under the sea, you know?
Yeah. Well, maybe she's got special...
Like, a period of time, the queen just leaves the land and goes and hides under the ocean.
So Matt Cartelli says, if you saw the new Fantasyland commercial with Regina that aired back in May, she says, Ariel in our version, the octopus wins. So there definitely has been some foreshadowing of it. There's no question. So it'll be really interesting. They've been planning this for a really long time. A really long time. So because they've been planning it for so long, I'm thinking that they really know what they want to do with this. And Angela says, I trust them. Yeah, and I don't know who the writers are for that episode, because I haven't looked it up. But, yeah, I let's see what happens. I mean, this is the big sweeps time. These are going to be the biggies. And a lot's going to happen in November. Definitely.
Totally.
And especially as it leads up to the beginning of December when the show hits its mid-season finale. And this arc will be over. I will almost guarantee you that they're not gonna bridge this arc into next mini season.
No, Neverland will end with the fall run.
Yeah, it will, and they'll be able to go on.
But here we have a big Robin Hood arc for the spring run.
That could be. It could very well be.
They recast him because they wanted him for a lot of episodes.
Yeah, so I think they will do, and that's good because he's had a lot to do with a lot of different people. So that could be really interesting. And you know, people are saying in the chat room, yes, that Lana Parrilla is such a great actress, and she is. She's terrific. There will be 1 week off on November 24th due to the American Music Awards. Okay, so the big finale is going to be...
the first
week in December,
yeah.
Whatever that is, December 3rd or whatever that is. So
December 1st.
So I'm going to actually go to the queue because I've got a couple of new people and I'm curious to see who they are. So hang on a second. Hi, you are on Let's Talk TV Live. Who are we speaking with? Hello? Oh, maybe she doesn't want to speak. All right. I'm going to take this person out. Maybe she's just listening online. Okay, I'm going to try this other one. Maybe I surprise this person. Okay, if you're in the queue and you don't want to speak, say now. Hang on a second. Hi, you're on the air. Who are we speaking with? She doesn't want to talk. Okay. I now know that unless it has a little question mark thingy, that I shouldn't actually...
Yes, the Pied Piper.
The Pied Piper?
Becky said it was the Pied Piper.
Who's the Pied Piper?
The person that didn't want to speak.
The person who didn't want to speak. Ah. Okay.
No.
Oh, and Sarah says, this is the arc that ends right before my finals. And, oh, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
So either you're going to do, you know, you're going to have to book ahead of time or wait until after your finals as a treat. Okay. So, yes, we have been talking about the Hook story the whole time. So what do you think of the let's go back to Hook. Let's go back to Hook and Emma. So what do you all think of that kiss? Oh, I agree. Oh, I thought Colin O'Donoghue's performance was incredible.
Yeah.
I thought he was great. I really, 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 really liked him.
Once upon a fangirl, my eyes.
Can I say this? People press 1 to put their hand up if they want to. Oh, they're probably just listening. Yes, that's true. Okay. I actually knew that, but I didn't want to be. Okay. So can I just say this? I met Colin O'Donoghue over the summer, and I've definitely, he's really good looking, and to me almost too good looking, but I have to say, in that captain's outfit with the bangs, you know, the fringe.
Oh, he was looking yummy with this.
Okay.
Oh,
I have to say, you know, yes, definitely yes.
I'd say more. That's the first time I think I've seen him out the regalia, the hook wear. I've never seen him without it. That's the first
he's
time.
Quite, he,
I cut like.
A, he cut a dashing figure. There's no question.
Yes.
And I love
the
pony.
I thought his brother was pretty handsome too, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So can we talk about, we will talk about Robbie Kay. And I have been saying that. So the kiss was really good, and the flirtation is nice. But you know what? I think Emma is for Neil, to be honest.
Yeah,
I really
think.
But she's definitely attracted to him. Like, she was into that kiss.
Oh, she was into that kiss. Yeah, definitely.
And
I
want to know.
I love the fact that that she started kiss out as sort of a, oh, whatever, you know. She that big smack on the lips was like almost like a parody of a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
But then she got into it. And I thought that was a really, really good acting choice by Jennifer Morrison to start it with, okay, whatever, kind of a thing. I'm just going to indulge him. But then
they really got into it, though, both.
They did,
both
yeah.
Parts.
Yeah. Oh, Lydian says,
no.
I don't. Okay,
yeah,
so I'm picking up that Lydian is a real Swanfire. Are you a Swanfire?
And I.
You're not a Swanfire. I mean, not Swanfire.
I'm sorry.
I am Swanfire.
I do like, you know, I think Emma. I mean, I just like the fact that he's so flirty all the time. I love all his little innuendos and everything
like
that. Right,
he's like a. Yeah.
Yeah.
So back
I mean, I just love
your,
that about him.
Your true love. That is true. And I think, yeah, in the end, I think Neil and Emma will be together. And the child of Charming and the son of the Dark One were meant to be together.
Yes.
They created a child from true love who is pure magic, the truest believer.
Yes.
And if that doesn't spend Endgame, I don't know what does.
I agree with you.
That's a good, yeah, and I think it makes a good tour. And I think it'll make a really nice triangle.
Listen,
I like
Lydia is saying, true loves don't set each other up to pay for their crime and bail.
This is true.
Sorry, don't shoot the messenger. Oh, that's funny.
I
feel like you need to give Emma some part. She can date her for a little bit.
You're breaking up on
her. You're breaking up.
Oh, sorry. I just think it would be nice to have a little Emma on Hook before they get to Emma and Bale.
Yeah,
that would be good. That would be good. That sounds really good.
You know they're going to. I mean, up until the moment where she realizes that, oh, my God, he knew that Bay was here this whole time and didn't tell me. I mean, but at least, you know.
And then they can hook up Hook and Regina.
Yeah.
I think that would work.
Even though Regina's true love is Robin Hood.
Well, this is I am still confused about that whole thing. I didn't like that at all. I'm sorry. the Robin Hood and Regina situation, and I don't know. I was a little upset.
Oh,
by
but
that.
See,
I mean,
think that must be. Oh, now wait a second. So if the spring arc is going to be Robin Hood, I'm wondering if that's going to be Regina's love interest going forward. And that's
Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
yeah, but then
is.
We need somebody for Hook. And too bad they got rid of Red Riding Hood because
they would have
worked out.
I like that. They're both a little saucy.
Maybe her show will get canceled and they can get her back.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. So I'm going to bring, I think this is Sarah that's got her hand up in the queue, as it were. Hang on. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
See,
hi,
I'm
Sarah.
Getting to know your number. And now you had your hand up. What are your thoughts on last night's episode?
This was a good episode in my opinion. I really like this episode. I think, but I do agree a little bit on the one side that Hook's past was just a little, I mean, it was just a little, I mean, that's the one downside to flashbacks, I guess. Like, you obviously know what happened, sort of, but it's the little details that I really like about it, how Hook actually made it to Neverland even before he was the captain.
Right.
And how he lost his brother, how he knows so much, how he has, like, a personal, like memory, like, he has just, like, a personal connection to the Dreamshade and why he knows so much about it. So that's the one, like, that's how I think of it. Like, I just, okay, obviously, like, it's basically, okay, Snow White and Prince Charming are obviously going to get married in the end. They're going to have Emma, of course, but it's all the little details that I really like that I could pick up on it. That's why I like, so flashbacks are fun.
Right. And I think we went from point A to point Z really quickly with Hark,
mm-hmm.
There was no tease. So I really, you know, that's what I missed. And that's what I think was my only problem with the episode was the abruptness of that. As I'm circling back around to what I said at the beginning, I really liked I like the story. I like their take on Captain Hook's origin story, that he was a good guy and he had a brother and he was a young officer in the Navy, and he really wanted to do good. And he was smacked in the face with reality of the cruelty of people. And I really like that, you know, I really like that. Oh yeah. Detour, I'm my eye on the chat room and ready for love. He has been cast as Christian in 50 Shades of Grey.
Jamie Dornan. So. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to watch it for sure.
I have no idea what to think of it. Oh my gosh. My mom read the books, and when she told me about it, like, Mom, I already know that he was casted. I'm still not going to see the movie.
Yeah, I'm not a big 50 Shades of Grey. I'm not a big 50 Shades of Grey fan.
I haven't read the book yet. I haven't read the book, but then I thought he was going to be in it. Then I'm like, okay, well, I just watch it to see him.
No, don't waste your time on the books. They're not good. Just watch the movie if you want.
The books are not good. No,
they're not well written at all.
Not at all.
Twilight fan fiction, I've heard. I thought those books were just basically fan fiction.
Oh, is that it? Is that what it is? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 50 Shades of Grey was originally written as Twilight fan fiction.
She wrote Twilight fan fiction, and she changed the names, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Got
rid of the vampire element.
Yeah. So that's basically what it is. And it actually, interestingly enough, led to really the acceptance of fan fiction as a legitimate medium. And in fact, there are Amazon has now agreements with a number of networks about selling fan fiction.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, literally selling fan fiction.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, and so there are a number of networks that they've done that. It's funny because when I was at Comic-Con, and I had a chance to talk to Chris Carter, I said to him, you know, hey, you know, there's so much X-Files, as far as fan fiction goes, X-Files probably has some of the best fan fiction that's ever been written, really publishable quality fan fiction. And I asked him, I said, so what do you think the chances are that there'll be some sort of a deal struck between Fox or his 1013 Productions and Amazon to make X-Files fan fiction publishable? And he said, knowing Fox, not very. So so we'll see.
It was worth a try. It was worth a try.
Yeah, it was worth the try. I had to ask the question.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what you're saying is we might not be as crappy as you think, understanding you're asking. Becky, could you elaborate?
Yeah,
I'm
what do
so
you mean
confused.
By that?
What do you mean by that? Anyway, so... I went off on that tangent because of you, Chrissy.
Ah,
you set it off on
I'm
a tangent.
Sorry, you were looking at the chat box. Okay, so we were just talking about you were you're fading in and out too. I don't know.
Oh, that's not good. I don't know why I'm not. Why am I fading in and out? You know what? I think I'm wondering if I'm hitting the mute button on my headset.
Possibly.
It was tucked beneath my elbow. So I think that might be the problem. Okay, so Lydian says we'll have to it is obvious that you do not ship Swanfire. And I actually do. Is my sound better now, I hope? Oh, good. Okay, so I'm not leaning on my mute button anymore. okay. So, you know, Lydian, yeah, you see Hook and Emma. I actually like Hook and Emma together. I think they're both damaged, saucy, sassy people. They're hard people. So Becky's, okay, so I'm going to go back to this for 1 second. Becky says fan fiction. In other words, if 50 Shades of Grey isn't quality writing, maybe if we gave it a shot, we might not be as crappy at writing. That's correct.
Oh, yeah.
So
<that's right. laughs>
there is some actually very, 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 very good fan fiction out there. So, okay. So Angela says, I don't ship Captain Swan, although Hook is growing on me. Hook is growing on me, too. I think that they definitely wanted to rehabilitate him. I don't think that they started as wanting to... I think when he first went on, I don't think they saw him as a potential heroic character. But I think they saw how popular he is, so they kind of want to rehabilitate him, which is fine.
So now they're trying to pretend, though, that he was never bad, I feel. Like, the only bad things he did pertain to that one love romantic relationship, you know, with Mila. So now they're going to show us that he's not as bad as we think he is.
Yeah, and that his taking Mila was not a, you know, was not a
bad thing.
Well,
she went willingly, you know?
She went willingly.
She fell in love.
She went willingly. It's not like he had to, you know, force her, for God's sake. I mean, she was already out the door a long time ago. I mean,
and in season two, you know, his whole thing was just getting revenge on Rumpel. He wasn't trying to hurt anybody else, and he actually helped out a bit.
Right.
I feel like they're going to make the case that he was never evil. We just had a perception of him.
Well, he's one of those guys that is just, you know.
Well, but you know, I want to go back. No, I want to go back for a second. Okay, hit the rewind button.
Okay.
Hook and Mila together. The way that it was, the way that he treated Rumpel in that context was...
It's true.
Cruel.
That was cruel.
It was horrible. It was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you
oh,
know,
yeah.
demeaning and humiliating. And here's
well, yeah,
the guy
that
who's looking for his wife, who is obviously a disabled person.
Yeah.
And no,
mm-hmm.
I you can't ignore. Hook's badness. I mean, that's part of him. No more
well,
than you can ignore Rumpel's badness, and a lot of people try to ignore
right.
that. And there
well,
is
yeah.
a dark part of him.
But you got to
yeah.
remember, like what Once Upon a Fangirl was like. You know, Hook spent a lot of time around Pan too. You know, he
yeah.
had to. You know, when he was immersed in that. You know, when you're immersed in a psychological battle daily with this kid, Pan, who's
oh, yeah.
definitely evil, you know, you figure
mm-hmm.
that's your mindset, you know. No matter where he goes, I mean, he always is going to be, I think, more apt to, you know, attack or, you know, to be sort of that guy versus now
yeah.
he is trying to kind of turn things around and be the person that he was at the beginning, you know, when he started his life, basically, and
so
and
okay, so
trying to pull him back in.
So
you know,
so, right. So Lydian is saying, hold on. Mila told Rumpel what she needed to be happy, and he ignored her, and she left him.
That's not
mm-hmm.
true. Mila wanted him to fight in the Ogre Wars. I mean, that was her thing. You know, oh, you mean fight in the Ogre Wars? Like everybody, you know. He didn't
but she
do
didn't,
that. That's the only
yeah.
thing that he didn't do. I mean, she left her son. Exactly. She ran off with another man. She is the person that I think that she's sort of worse than Hook almost to a certain extent. But, I mean, they were
right.
definitely two people
I mean,
in a pod.
Right. Right, and she took her lead. I mean, he took her lead.
Right, exactly. And yeah, I mean, he was a bully, but he's a pirate. That's what bullies. That's what they are. They're
yeah.
bullies. But the thing is that he's tried to kind of turn himself around and do the right thing, and now he's going to get sucked back into it because Pan is, you know, in his ear doing, hey, you know, I'll get you what you want if you work, you know, if you work for me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and he's sort of like the, you know, as the, you know, not Jiminy Cricket, the antithesis to Jiminy Cricket for him. And so it's going to be, you know, a battle. It's going to be a battle, another psychological
right.
thing. He's got to put himself back into that mindset of when he was there before. And he hasn't
and,
because, you know, he's
well,
trying
and
to.
And I get what Lydian's saying. She told Rumpel they could leave the village and go where no one knew them. They could see the world and live a new life. Maybe that's something that Rumpel didn't have in him, and maybe, yeah, she could leave him. But how she – oh, Jimmy left. Oh, Jimmy leaves at – I'm sorry. Bye, Jimmy. I know he leaves
Jimmy
at 9.
Left.
And his,
oh,
and his line was getting – his line was getting a little fuzzy too.
Okay. Bye, Jimmy.
But she actually – you know, she knew what it was, you know, and
right.
the thing is that she left her son too. That was a pretty.
Well, yes, she left. She left. I mean, this is the thing. And as much as Rumpel, you know, chose to be the dark one over following Bay into the hole, I mean, Mila completely abandoned both of them. Completely abandoned them. And,
yeah, and if
you know.
If you go back to Manhattan, you know, and
uh-huh.
you go back to Manhattan and, you know, you see what Rumpel did and he injured himself. And
right.
you can argue what he did was a cowardly thing. But I don't think he did it. I don't think in his mind he did it to be cowardly. I think he did it because he didn't want to have his own child grow up fatherless.
But wait a minute. Remember, he didn't even know Mila was pregnant until the seer told him. And it was at that point when she's like, you know, your actions on the battlefield are going to, you know, affect. Basically, you're going to leave your son, you know, fatherless or whatever on the battlefield. I mean, it wasn't until that point that he's like, shit, I got to get home. You know,
right.
when that episode started, he was happy to be going off to fight
right.
in
right.
the war, in the Ogre War, because his father didn't. And so that's why it really upset me when, I think his every intention was, oh, my God, you know, she's pregnant. Now I need to get back there. I mean, it wasn't that he was trying to avoid the Ogre Wars. He just didn't want to die, which is what he thought the fear meant. But the reason he went back was because he had a son. He had a baby. And
right.
he didn't know that. He didn't know she was
right.
pregnant when he went off. So, I mean,
right.
which is a little different.
And I get what Lydian is saying. You know, yes, if, you know, you're, you know, what's worse, to have a bitter mother who could possibly be an abusive mother, or to have her leave.
Right.
And that's kind of a, you know, the way we think of it now, you know, in our 21st century.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, and Once Upon a Fangirl says...
Yep.
Hook can absolutely be redeemed, as can Rumpel, as can Regina, as can Neil, as can anyone on the show, and that's the point. Yes, absolutely.
It's lost all over again. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
They did. And they're trying to redeem themselves. Come
yes.
on.
Yes. Of course, I think Rumpel and Regina have the longest way to go. Definitely.
Yes.
And I think that Rumpel
yes.
has come...
A very long
really,
way.
Really far. He's come a really, really, really long way. I think Regina is trying, but I think,
she gets
you know,
back in.
You know, but, you know, again, you know, and in, you know, and I don't ever want to paint Rumpel as being all pure and good and wonderful, as much as I love the character. He has a pretty nasty past. I mean, if you think
yeah.
about him, why is Regina the way she is? Rumpel
because
taught
Rumpel.
Her.
Well, because of
yeah,
well,
because of Rumpel.
Cora,
you
no,
know, but
Cora
how
is started it? Cora
right.
started it.
Yeah.
Her anger inside and everything. She didn't know what to do with it in general. But then yeah, Rumpel kind of twisted the T, in other words, to what to kind of enlighten Regina and kind of unlocked that rage within her and then taught her the magic. But ultimately, Regina, I mean, it all begins with Cora because she hated Cora and what Cora did and how she acted
right.
and everything like that.
Right.
But it was but instead of channeling that into something positive, Rumpel kind of turned the key and she went dark side. And now
yeah.
it's going to be really interesting to see somebody in the chat box just saying, yeah, I mean, you know, Henry, if he turns bad, I mean, it'd be a twist.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I don't know. I mean, I really believe he's sort of getting there, to be honest with you. I mean, you and I were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's
the thing. I didn't think so. I think mm-hmm. that, you know, Henry did kind of, he was kind of in wonder about having the sword turn real on him. But I don't
yeah.
think he intentionally cut the boy, you know, the lost
no,
boy.
No, I don't think he intentionally. No, I don't think that was intentional.
He did not intend that. There's no way.
Yeah, no.
No, he didn't intend it. And when he got the word, you know, that Emma and Regina, at first he thought it was a trick. And then
yeah.
when he realized it was genuine, I thought that was a great scene, and it gave him hope. So,
yeah,
and I think that that's a really important thing.
And I hope from this.
The question is, and this is a great question. Thank you for asking it, Becky. How is Charming going to get out of Neverland
yeah.
without dying? How is that gonna? What do you guys think about that?
Well,
oh,
what do you
crazy.
Think, Sarah?
I don't know. Like, the whole time when I was watching that scene, I'm like, it's Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade all over again.
Yeah, totally.
Don't cross the don't cross the seal across
that was
the,
so funny.
The main floor. I'm like,
I love that too. It's like, oh,
I was that's
know.
What I was thinking at the time. I'm like,
yeah,
oh
totally.
Man, they are so screwed with this. I honestly have no idea. It's gonna find a little twist and hopefully get out
yeah.
of it. Otherwise,
yeah. Lydian's
so people
like
are guessing.
Emma's magic. What about
Emma's
like,
magic, pixie dust?
Well, don't forget there's the shady blue fairy lady now and the fairy.
Yeah. If Pan is killed and Henry restores good magic, it could happen. You know, there's a lot of different things. Does Henry believe his family is real and not a trick? Yes, I think yes. And I think the fact that he has hope actually is an immunity to Pan. After all, Pan's influence is on boys who believe they are abandoned, right?
Yes, that,
on abandoned boys, abandoned,
that.
Lonely boys, right? So you have Rumpel, perfect example, right? The lost boys are all abandoned boys.
Yes, right.
So
I'm just hoping at this point.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm just hoping at this point that now, since Henry does know that his family is coming for him, that he will now be one. I'm hoping that Pan does. In the back of my head, my brain is telling me, no, Pan knows everything that's going on in this island because he is in tune with everything, with every grain of sand of Neverland. But my heart is like telling me, please let Henry just be one little step ahead of Pan and start playing him. One step away, like one little, he has a little win, a little lead on the board game that Pan, we don't know how long he has set up this game, that I just really hope that Henry just has a little advantage over it. But then once again, my head is saying, you know what? Because of Pan's strong connection to Neverland, it's like you have to just play that manipulation factor that I had with Cora, that he knows everything that is going on, like how he knew Hook and Emma's kiss was going to happen. Well, I shouldn't say it like that, but how he would eventually, he always has like a backup plan to his backup plan.
And it's all a game. Charming. I mean, to him, it's all a game. The whole thing
it's
is a game.
It's all a game, and I love it. I want to beat this kid.
I know.
Oh, my
God. I'm worried,
though.
Remember, Henry dropped the mirror, and it cracked. So
yes.
I think
he was just playing that fake.
Yeah.
Like, he was just, he just destroyed it so that if anyone does find it, they can't, like, look into the other side of the mirror and see what is. I'm assuming that could do it because what I was thinking, oh, it's a little Farnsworth from Warehouse 13, but it's not. It's
right.
It's my little connection.
That's so funny.
The question is Henry? Oh, I wanted to talk about Robbie Kay for a minute. I have to say, he's just
isn't he
awesome.
Fabulous?
He is really phenomenal.
he is really the next Johnny Depp. That's how I look at him because he's so. I mean, for him to be able to play, he one on one with freaking Robert Carlyle, for God's sakes. I mean, the scenes that he had. I can't wait for this week though. I'm anxious to see him. You know, have more conflict with Rumpel. It's gonna be great.
Well. Are they going to? I don't know. Are they going to have an encounter?
I think so. Don't they have? Rumpel. I thought I saw in the commercial it was Rumpel and Peter Pan.
I saw Rumpel and Regina together.
Oh my!
I saw Rumpel and Regina. I did see Pan, but I didn't. I don't think I saw Pan and Rumpel.
I saw Pan and Rumpel together.
I don't think I saw.
Maybe it was just. Maybe it was a clip of Pan, and then I don't know. Anyway, I'm anxious to see the showdown. I'm dying to see what they're going to do.
I want to see that. More than anything, I want to see the past, because I called it a couple weeks ago with my friends. Okay, Rumpel and Pan have to have known each other as, like, small children. They must have been close childhood friends. Pan must have, like, been there for Rumpel when his father abandoned him, and when one day Pan discovers this land where they could live forever and whatnot, Rumpel, the coward that he was, that in the beginning, I guess, he stayed back, and that is what Pan maybe, like, that's how their friendship turned into, I'm blanking on the word, like an enemy sort of kind of thing. That's what I'm sort of guessing with it.
I don't know. And Becky's saying that in episode 8, they're supposed to have, Pan and Rumple are supposed to have this big showdown. And guess what, guys? David Goodman, who wrote episode 8, will be on the show the next night after.
Yeah,
so
that's
going to
be very
it.
Cool.
So that'll be kind of fun. Yeah, I don't, you know, I have a hard time, I'm having a hard time figuring out the exact origin story of Rumple and Peter Pan, and I'm guessing
yeah.
we're going to find that out. Not before long. We will learn what that origin story is. Obviously, that doll is something that Rumple left behind.
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And Pan hung on to it and knows that it's something that was incredibly emotionally important to Rumple.
And painful.
And really, like the Lost Boy says, it's nice to know there are still things that can make you cry.
Yeah.
Or then make somebody cry or something like that. So that is, I think, a real interesting story. And I totally agree. Robbie Kay really holds his own with these older, experienced actors. It's really, he actually comes off as, I think, the things you haven't thought about in years still have the ability to make us cry.
Yeah.
I'm without a doubt, I think Robbie Kay is the most villainous villain in the entire series. And it's great.
He gets
changed with Liana.
He's so good at being bad. I mean, the sarcasm, the ego, he's just so flawless. I mean, you wouldn't to know it. I mean, he is the nicest kid in the world to talk to. I would just love to, like, know how does he get into that mindset to be, it's fun for him. He can be completely opposite, you know, who he really is, which, you know, he can, you know, be as devious and, you know, asshole-ish as you want to be or whatever. I just absolutely love him.
Yeah.
The way that
he's
portraying it.
So Once Upon a Fangirl is saying, I want Regina to embrace her magical self full on, full stop, and really stop taking orders from Emma. Ha! Well, but the good point, Lydian says, the good point is they don't want to have her going out of control and putting them in danger. So, wouldn't
Regina
that be neat, though? Okay, Regina versus Pan. Oh, my gosh.
I want to see that. I just want a nice, Pan and Regina together. Pan could be awesome with Jennifer and awesome with Robbie. I want to see Lana and Robbie Kay together because that will be.
Yeah.
That scene would be just epic. Oh, my goodness.
Because I think that, you know, Pan and Rumple, there's too much emotional baggage between them.
Yeah.
And Rumple is afraid of Pan's power. So, but I really think that Regina and Pan, oh my gosh, I could just see her
completely new.
She needs to be in full Evil Queen regalia, though. I mean, I just want her to be.
I want her to frighten the hell out of him. Ha.
Yeah, I really and truly, it would be great to see him afraid of something. I mean, he's not afraid of anything. He controls everything. I just want him to have that moment where he's just like, you know, just even a split second of fear in his eyes. I would love that. Just for that moment. Oh, my God, it would be epic. I hope we get it.
But,
I don't know.
But if she goes off on it, it could make it worse for them.
That's
true. Because she doesn't know enough about Peter Pan to really use that. The only person who knows, there are only
Rumple.
Two people. Well, and Hook. There are only two people who really know enough about Pan to really maybe stop him. And that would be Hook and Rumple. Now, I'm really curious, and Regina is very, yes, she's scary and manipulative and smart. I am wondering about this uneasy alliance between Regina and Rumple in next episode.
Yeah, I can't wait
to see that going down.
What have they got going? They are both very smart, and they are both very manipulative. And what could they possibly do? And I'm sure that Rumple is, you know, trying to figure that all out right now. So,
his shadow is already ripped off. He ripped off his shadow, and he had the shadow hide his Rumple still from store.
He doesn't have his dagger. Yeah.
He doesn't have it. Nobody knows, and he doesn't know where it is because he didn't want to know. So,
I love the idea. Okay, so the thing that's missed in the, you know, because we see that Regina and Rumple have this uneasy alliance, right, to take down Pan, which presupposes that Rumple has refused to take Pan's deal.
Right.
He's going to take him on. He's decided that it is his quest.
Destiny. It's his destiny, really.
It's his destiny to take this guy on.
Yeah.
So the key to Pan is not to think about it so darn much. And he doesn't quit.
I have a thing about
him
that.
Too much
especially
power. He plays mind games. I mean, that's his whole thing is he plays mind games.
That's why I'm saying. I think that Regina realizes that that isn't Belle. He doesn't know. He thinks it's Belle. And that's why you see him so freaked out when she's strangling Belle.
Air quotes.
I think it's going to end up being Pan. That's my prediction.
It's either Pan or Pan or the shadow
children.
Not Rumple's shadow, the shadow that we originally saw back in season 2 and so
Pan's
far.
Yeah, Pan's shadow, the one that brought over Bay. That shadow.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you guys in the chat room that Rumple is not going to kill Henry or harm Henry.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lydian says, they wish they would think of a different things undoing can mean. Yes, I agree, because undoing can mean his undoing of his evil side. It could be the undoing of the Dark One. It could mean the death of the Dark One, and Rumple would be himself. Now, that would be an interesting, really interesting thing for Rumple to grapple with. If his undoing meant that his magic was taken away and he was just, again, this, you know, this
the
kind
pawn
of...
Broker, basically.
Huh? It was
basically the pawn broker.
Yeah,
no,
just a pawn broker, an antiquities dealer. I think that could be very interesting. And what he would do, because I think he would be missing his power, missing the magic, whatever the cost. And I think he would be grappling with that.
Does Rumple not realize he got his prophecy from the Queen of double meanings? That he has never said anything outright. That's true.
That's
kind of fangirl. And then Becky said, what if one of the Lost Boys turns on Pan and surprises everybody?
That could also happen. Maybe that's it. Maybe Emma or Rumple or Regina is able to convince. Remember, Regina controls one of the Lost Boys now.
Right. Well, I think that's going to be interesting. She can actually, in essence, take all their hearts and take all their hearts. The one that she has now can bring the others to her. She can take out all of their hearts and control. And little will Pan know at the very last moment they are in control and he is not. That would actually be an interesting twist.
Right.
And
I also like the idea that Henry might turn the Lost Boys against Pan.
Yeah.
Ooh, that would be really
that
cool.
Power.
He would be the new Pan.
Totally.
A little flip reference.
the pin, the believer, though. I mean, I love that he's the true believer. It's just so awesome, I swear. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, this season is much better than last season, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah,
your
I'm loving
close,
this season.
Your enemies even closer. I agree with you, Becky.
Yes. Absolutely. That is Machiavellian, but it is absolutely true. Gosh, we're almost out of time, guys.
Oh, already? Oh, my goodness.
We've been talking and talking and talking. We haven't talked about any other show.
I know. Well, I will say, I wanted to mention Sleepy Hollow comes back on Monday, November 4th. I'm so excited. It's
Yay.
Been a long 3 weeks.
And Almost
and?
Human. Almost Human.
Yeah, I
it. Coming
Premier
on the air
week.
Also next week. And not next week. I'm sorry. I think it's the week after. I think they postponed it. But it is, because they're going to do, I think they're going to do a 2-hour. It is, I've seen it. It is wonderful. It stars the wonderful Carl Urban, who was Eomer in Lord of the Rings and was Bone, Star Trek. Star Trek movie series. He's great in it. It's a terrific show. So I highly, highly, highly recommend. So that's your assignment. Well, that's next week. So I can, you know, if I remember next week to remind you guys. And I do, again, I want to make the announcement that next Monday on Let's Talk TV Live, we will be joined for 45 minutes by Dylan Schmidt, who plays Bellfire. And that should be a lot. And so everybody make sure to bring your friends. You're going to see it all over the place. I'm going to be tweeting it and Facebooking it. And Dylan will be doing the same thing. And
Yes, that's going to be cool. I'm
so that'll be a lot of fun. And
Becky,
you remember the tattoo on the guy's back in Red Dragon? Isn't that the
same
monster in
Sleepy
Hollow?
Sleepy Hollow.
I don't know. I remember that tattoo because it was on Ralph Fiennes' back. Ha ha ha.
Yeah,
because
that's
Ralph
so funny.
Ralph Fiennes starred in Red Dragon. Do you remember that?
Well,
did you know that? He played the.
I didn't know that. I didn't realize
that.
Yeah,
he played the serial killer in Red Dragon. He was so good.
Wow.
My gosh. Really,
Once Upon a Time when it has officially gotten good, excellent. Yeah, it's been good.
That third episode was awesome. I loved all the little Star Wars like little hints in there. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. Maeve is my favorite. I love Will. Will is my favorite.
Yeah.
He's cute. Okay. He's cute.
We are down to the time to say goodbye to everyone.
Goodbye.
Yes, Once Upon a Fangirl. Yes, the Knave is amazing. And if you want to see the Knave in a movie with Mr. Carlyle, the movie Summer, it is on Netflix. You can see them acting together. That's Michael Sacca, who plays the Knave in Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. And if you're a Jafar fan and you want to see him very young, get The English Patient, which stars Juliette Binoche and Ralph Fiennes and Naveen Andrews and a little bit of Defoe. Haha. So those are definitely recommendations for movies. I can't wait to hear Jafar's backstory. And it's time to say goodbye to everyone.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Have a good Halloween, everyone.
Thank you. You too.
All right.
You too. And tune in next week, guys. Okay. Take care. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.